Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch's sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, everyone, to Talking It Out with Baxter Nation. This week, we are talking to the recipient of Rachel's first one-on-one date, Jordan V. Very excited to talk to Jordan V. But Mike, how we feeling, man? You know, we got to get into our hot takes.
We got to get into the hot takes, but I have to say, I have to call out Nate. He did a phenomenal. I loved watching Nate yesterday on The Bachelorette. Loved watching him. I mean, everything that he was standing for, I was back home just throwing popcorn at the screen, just standing ovation for the Nate handled himself in every single situation. And Chris,
yes,
Lord have mercy. That's all I'm gonna say about Chris. So
listen, Nate shut down Chris. I loved how he did it. I thought he did it respectfully. He called him out
Do you remember the My favorite part that Nate did in regards to Chris. So Chris came back. This was at the end of the episode. Chris came back, right? And he just, whatever the BS he said, I want to know who said what or whatever. Gabby said something to him, bruh. He stood up so fast. Hey, she said, you can leave now. That's what I'm talking about.
You heard the lady. You heard her.
Like, you heard the lady. And then I get out. I know Nate. Nate's pretty tall, right? He's a really tall guy. So he just was staggering over Chris. I was so happy to see that moment. I was so happy too. I wanted to record today just so I can shout him out.
You could tell Chris wanted to come back and give those guys a piece of their mind, but you know,
but for what?
Bounced,
and that's how you know that you're being like narcissistic. And I hope that you hear this, homie. Like, that's how you know you're being narcissistic. You're not there for them.
Listen, man, and just make sure that, I mean, your vocals, man, they were all right. I mean, you're better than me. I'll give you that. But that's not saying much.
So I'm not
going to
say that. Oh, yeah, he's better than me, too.
That's not saying much, but you don't just come out on national television and belt out those tunes. Like, unless you're like really confident, which apparently he's a little overconfident because it wasn't that great. I'm not going to lie.
It wasn't that great. I kind of forgot about his voice, but it was better than mine.
It wasn't good enough to actually come out like that.
I'm going to give him credit for being that confident with his voice. I'm really am. I appreciate someone confident for that.
I don't know. It looked like Gabby and Rachel, there was like some crickets on their end when it came to when he started singing. So I don't know. But anyway, that's why he's home, right? But I was actually a little shocked with Jordan.
Like,
night one with the car, with the car racing and all that. And I thought him and Rachel really vibed. And he got sent home, man.
I'm going to ask him. You know, I like to be honest. I'm going to say, bro, you're a good-looking dude, homie. You obviously got her liking you. You got the first one-on-one. So I'm going to ask him when he's on. You're going to be sweet about it. I'm going to say, Jordan, do you have game or not? I just have to know. I'm going to ask him that straight up. So I can't wait.
Hey, man, listen, there was a conversation that we missed. You know, maybe
we missed something on certain things
that we didn't see.
Sorry.
You never know.
I'm sorry we missed it. But
Nate did it right, man. I was definitely impressed with Nate, like you said. So, but yeah, let's get into these hot takes.
Super stand up for Nate. I wish I was on Twitter last night. But into the hot takes, I have to know. And this also came from just watching the show and watching Logan. I thought that Logan did a phenomenal job trying to get to know both the ladies. I really do. But the hot take came, and I was thinking about, like, you know, back home when you're not on the show. You're single, Brian. I got to paint the picture for you. I know. Mm-hmm. So you're single in this context.
Okay,
right?
Hypothetical,
of course. You know, I ain't trying to get slapped by big sis, right? Hypothetical, you're single in this context. If you want to date with a woman and she tells you, hey, just so you know, I'm loving my date with you, but I want to be respectful and let you know up front, I'm also dating someone else. I don't intend to always date two people, or three people, however many, but I just want to let you know I'm dating other people and trying to find my person. Would you be okay with that?
Okay, so based on the way you say it, I presume that they are not dating seriously. Like, casually dating
what
me?
What if they
casually
are dating seriously?
Him.
No.
Why are you even on the date with me? Like, what are you doing on the date if you're dating somebody seriously?
This is just what happened on The Bachelorette. Gabby, Rachel, Logan, I think that all three of those participants are taking each other serious. No?
No, no. It's not to say that they're not taking each other serious, but I think he's dating both. At the moment, essentially, like, it's meant to be serious long-term. Like, he wants to get serious, but he's not going to end up serious with both, right? Like, eventually, he's going to have to
probably
choose.
Probably not. Probably. I mean, there's always a chance.
There's, you know what I'm saying? So, I like, know. If I was in the real world and I was dating somebody and they told me, hey, look, you know, I'm dating around, like, mm-hmm. I'm okay with it. Like, if this is our first or second date, I at least know where I stand. I'm not,
yes,
you know, being kept in the dark about it. And at the yes. same time, maybe I'm doing the same thing. You know what I'm saying? I could be honest with her right back. And
yes.
we could still
that
see
leads
each other.
To another question.
No problem.
That leads to another question right there.
What's
the follow-up
that?
To that then would be, is it dishonest when someone reveals something to you and you might be doing the same, but you don't tell them that you are? Strictly specific, speaking to, if your date tells you, hey, Brian, you know, I'm really liking you. I just want to let you know up front, be honest. I'm also dating someone else, trying to see which one I'm more inclined to. And you are doing the same, but you don't tell her. To me, in my eyes, that's a lie.
Yeah, no, why wouldn't you, okay. why right. wouldn't you express that at that moment? You know what okay. I'm saying? Like, if she sure. expressed that to me and I was doing the same thing, but yeah, I'm actually,
yeah.
I myself as well am dating other people as well, or one other person, you know? It's like, I don't know, I guess your question, if I was dating somebody exclusively and use the word serious, then I wouldn't be dating the other person, right?
Okay, so like, you look
so
at
that
the
means,
word,
like,
you look at the word serious, I got you.
Yeah, like I bring it down to casually, like I could go on a date with you. I could go on a date with this other person and I'm going to let each person know. And if they don't like it, I'm trying to decide for myself. It's my journey, right? Same thing that the woman could say. You know what I'm saying?
Correct, I totally
respect that. And at that point, it becomes, do you want to partake in that? I wouldn't mm-hmm. mind doing it. I would like, if I like the girl, if I like the woman, I would want to see her more. And we continue to go on dates. I think that open line of communication is healthy. Hopefully she continues to be honest with me. If it ever gets serious with that other person and she wants me out of the picture, then I'd appreciate her to be upfront about that. And I would do the same thing. But maybe the other guy drops off, right? And now yes. you're the one left.
Well,
it's
there's
like,
no
hey,
maybe.
You know what?
For me.
I've decided
Brian,
that you're the one.
Brian, there. First off,
it's me.
Pause. It would be no maybe. It's Dr. As we're talking about, right? So she could tell you that, but then after the first date, there's going to be no other guy. You know, it is what it is. But I feel that.
You never know.
I mean, you never know. True. I mean, if it's a. I can say it. But on a, that has happened to me before. A woman has said that to me. And my first thought was, wow. She, in my eyes, was on such a higher level. Because I felt that was such a beautiful, honest, transparent thing to say. And I took that as she's not playing games. She's extremely serious. And the way I interpreted that was in such a beautiful highlight of her. I respected her on such a different level.
And think about it. She maybe isn't afraid to lose you. Because some
men,
maybe they're not at that level. I don't know if to call
yes.
it immaturity if you don't want to deal with that. But like, if you couldn't handle it and you were out, then she's like, okay, that's my truth. If you don't like it, then peace out.
Then peace out. That's the flip side about it. And this is what I think that in this example, or not this example, this true story would have happened, what took place like a few years ago. I guess my pride got in the way because I said, oh, I liked it when she said that. And I was like, wow, well, I'm the better man. I'm going to let it be known. Like, I'm
so
not
wait, did it
know,
become
like
a little competition
it?
For you at that point?
It wasn't like nothing to lie about. It was more of like, I respect her and I'm putting my best foot forward as well. Like, it was more of.
So did that kind of turn. So that
I'm
turned you on a little
forward.
Bit when she mentioned that?
That shit turned me on. It turned me on.
Okay.
It 100% turned me on. Like 100% turned me on. I know.
Sometimes
I was,
we need a little. Sometimes you like little challenges. You know what I mean?
You know, it is. I always say that. I've said this in the past. I'm like, The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, for some people, not all people, but for some people, it's the exact same, except for you know who your competition is, per se. For men
yeah,
and women,
I
both.
Mean,
there is, I mean, that's
you're dating
is what it is
30
for some
people
not all.
In front of each
I
other.
I mean, not necessarily 30. I don't know who got time for all that. Like, ugh, I can't even imagine.
Well, on The Bachelor.
But,
on The Bachelor.
yeah, on The Bachelor. But like, some people might be dating 3 or 4 or 5 people, maybe. I've had homegirls that go on dates. I'm not calling my my lady friends names, but they go on dates 7 days a week with somebody different. And that's just what they do. You know, that's their thing.
Good.
They're eating good. Steak and lobster every night.
Oh, every night
they throw some good. Sushi in.
More power to you. More power to you if you're doing that.
More power to them. But no, I agree with you. I find it endearing. I find it extremely respectful, and someone that is thoughtful and someone that's serious about dating, and they're intentional. And I really appreciate
that. That's rare though.
So I just wanted
that's
thoughts.
Rare because rare. I mean, if you're on your first date, second date, it's like you don't necessarily owe them that per se.
You don't owe them that.
Like some people usually keep that under wraps until later on.
But I just really appreciated the way that Gabby, the way that Rachel, the way that Logan, all three of them handled it. And I thought about that in the real world situation.
All right, Mike, next hot topic. If you break up with your girlfriend, who is now your ex, do you need to delete pictures of the history that you had with that person? Yes or no?
I do.
Or do you leave them up on social media?
No, I delete them. And when I say delete, I'm talking about not archive, but actually delete. And I say that for me, for my future girlfriend would do, I don't really care what she does. Unless it's like...
So even when you're single, though, like you're not in another relationship and like maybe she gets mad and has to delete everything. Like this is just you being single, you guys break up. So you would still do it?
I would delete the pictures, yes. And I would delete the pictures for this very reason, not to be petty, but because like I love you and it hurts for me to see that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to block you. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing none of that stuff. But I will delete the pictures because when I go to my social feed, seeing you just, it's like with that Neo song where he talks about his voicemail. He had to change his voicemail because it said that we can't come pick up the phone. You remember that song? His new album, Go Hard, too.
Hell yeah.
But... That's the reason why I would have to delete. Not to be petty, but just because I'm so in love with you still. Even though we broke up, I still care about you deeply, and I just don't want to see that. It's only going to make me hurt more. I remember, bruh, true story. I don't think I've ever said this before. Last time, when I was out of a relationship from the person that I was in love with, I remember going to the mall. Brian, I went to the mall. Within 3 minutes, I had to run out because I almost started crying because people were holding hands. Like, that's me.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how I am.
That,
so therefore,
that cut
I have
deep,
to
Mike.
I'm just saying, bro.
So just you seeing just said, people hold hands made you run out that damn mall crying or almost crying?
Bruh, that was my first love.
You had it bad, bro.
I had it bad. I had it bad, right? But
and after that's why like, I have to don't have to call. You don't have to call.
You know, we good.
Yo.
I'm great now. But yeah, I would have deleted for that reason, not to be petty. What about you?
Let me ask you this, though. Follow up. Mm-hmm. What if your ex gets into a relationship and now, even though you don't have her on your feed, you're seeing her on your timeline, booed up.
Booed up, booed up.
That also cuts deep.
Yeah, I don't want to see that.
I'm so do you block her at this point?
I'm not. No, I ain't blocking her. Like, I'm not gonna block her.
It's a tough call.
I would probably. It depends on how we broke up. How I would answer that question. It depends on how we broke up.
Okay.
If I feel like there's still a potential, then I'll probably put you on mute.
It's like limited exposure.
Yes,
I agree with you, man.
I would
like,
definitely put you on mute.
Honestly, I think it's for me to each their own. I'm not.
That's the ultimate answer.
I can't talk about your mental health. I can't talk about anybody else's mental health. If that is what it takes for you to be at peace mentally and you just can't take, you know, seeing the pictures in your feed or seeing her on your timeline with somebody else and you feel the need to block, like it is what it is. Some people do that. They erase the entire history just so they don't have
history.
To. Relive that
history,
right? And I don't have a problem with it. Would I do it? What's that?
I said I delete the cash and everything.
Would you delete everything? Listen, some people need to do that, and I don't fault them for that. I mean, like you said, maybe it was a rough breakup. She cheated on you. He cheated on her. Whatever the case may be, or whatever. Even if you ended amicably, it's a situation where
I think the amicable
regardless, it's going to hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. It might be even tougher. Pain. I mean, it hurts. It hurts no matter what. So if that's what it's going to take for you to maintain your mental health and be able to move forward, because what happens? You keep them on your timeline, you keep them on your feed, and you can't help
that's
but
not
think
good
about them
for
you know
some people. Yeah, that's not good for some people.
Correct.
I remember telling my homeboys or my homegirls too, and my sister. I was like, "Yo, stop sending me this one chick in particular's photos. Like her, like don't give me this link no more. I'm not trying to see her. Her booed up or her this that. They do it to be sweet. I forget the reasons, but like I ain't trying to see none of that shit. I don't know. This person is no longer in my life."
Yeah, no, and especially somebody like you, bro.
I love stupid hard, man. I love extremely hard. And so I'm not trying to see that.
And think about it. In somebody like your position, how many tags would you get?
Oh, my God. That
your ex was with somebody else. We could see that in Bastard Nation going on right now. You know what I'm saying? And that would drive me nuts. I can't even imagine. Right?
Ooh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah,
you getting tagged 100 times a day? Like, what is the point of that, people? Like, thanks. I don't want to see this.
Like, what? You
appreciate
want me to go
it.
Off? Like, yeah. Like, come on. Leave me alone. And I just, it's like
they're
I think
setting
people,
fire.
Yeah, it's like you're sending fire to fire. Like, what are you doing right now? Come on.
Yeah,
stop
right.
It. I think it's people like showing concern and care. So like, did you see this? Or like, but it's just.
Yes.
I have
a
care
times
for this person.
To my
so I, yeah, I know 1,000 times yeah. in the last 10 minutes. I'm not trying to see it no more.
Yeah.
And so that's for me. That's why I would delete it. I'm talking about, I'd be deleting stuff off Facebook, Instagram, my cell phone. I'm not trying to see it. That's just me.
See,
though.
Like, I mean, I don't even mess with Facebook that much as much that.
Neither
that
do I.
Anymore,
that's why I said
so
it. Cause
I probably have like pictures of like exes like 10 years ago. And it's like, whatever. I don't even,
yeah,
it doesn't even bother me, but.
Okay.
But
with
yeah,
that
man,
being said,
recent,
though,
I totally get that.
With that being said, though, what is your thoughts on if your girlfriend or your wife or you has pictures of their ex on their social and or in their phone? Well, let's just not, I don't give a damn about phone because you'd be forgetting half the photos in your phone on your social.
Right. Yeah, no, that's kind of weird. Like,
see,
why do you have that up there?
For me, it's different, bro. Like, I would say now, if you date me and then you got a picture of you and Drake, I delete that shit because.
Oh, so if it's Joe Blow, no.
Yeah, if it's Joe Blow, you can leave him up there. I don't really care. No, I'm just being honest. I got him.
But Drake.
Yeah, I got him.
Drake's
I ain't
a
got Drake.
Story.
No, that's champagne poppy. Okay, that's champagne poppy. Right there.
I ain't got Drake money now.
Yeah, we can't do that one, baby. You got to delete him. I'm sorry. You can archive it so I don't see it.
All right, man. We've been going on way too long. Hopefully you guys enjoy this segment of Hot Takes. But we got to get Jordan in here to hear his story and what went wrong on this week's episode. Oh, let's get into it, man. Let's bring him on.
Welcome, Jordan. How you
What's
doing,
up,
man?
I'm doing good. Nice to meet you two. I've been big fans of both of you, to tell you the truth.
Pleasure,
you
man.
You got a lot to us
Be
like
honest,
that.
Man. You listen to our podcast
swear.
Every now and then?
I don't listen to podcasts, but I watched your guys' seasons.
Okay, okay.
So,
oh, awesome. We'll take that.
Especially you, Brian. Especially you. So,
appreciate
saw
it,
that whole thing.
It.
Yeah.
Look at the jawline on this guy, man. He's like he reminds me of an old school like Abercrombie model or something.
Yeah,
he looks like
right.
A
in high
Jake
school, that's what you wanted to be, right?
Well, I'm gonna call Jake Gyllenhaal out. You the better Jake Gyllenhaal right there. So, Jordan,
I appreciate it, guys. Yeah,
I have to ask off top, man. You're a phenomenal looking guy, right? You got an awesomely cool job. Do you just not have game? Like, what happened, man?
You know, I always thought I had at least a little bit.
I'm playing.
I think at the end of the day, you know, she just she didn't feel the connection she was looking for, and that's okay. You know, there's somebody out there for everybody. So
absolutely.
It just turns out that I wasn't her person, and hopefully she does find her person.
I mean,
during the season.
Getting into that, Jordan, I mean, is there anything that you can think of that went wrong? Or do you feel like you just did everything, you know, you were yourself, you did everything you could do, and it would just, like you said, just wasn't a connection? Or was there something that threw the connection off?
No, you know, I think it went great, honestly. You know, the whole day, from the beginning of the day when she picked me up in the Impala, It was great. Conversation was flowing and we were having a great time getting to know each other. And I think we had a lot in common. So we had a lot to talk about right from the start. And we would dive into those topics, you know, flying the plane, driving the race car. We talk about carburetors all the time. She was loving the carburetor talk. And, you know, we were getting to know each other and we had common, you know, interests and similarities. So I think, you know, we got past that and we started to see if there was a love connection. And I definitely felt like there was something. I feel like she felt something too. But, you know, at the end of the day, it wasn't enough. And, you know, maybe she already had started some connections with other guys, for instance, you know, Logan the night before. So I think at the end of the day, you know, it just wasn't enough for her and that's okay. And hopefully she finds what she's looking for.
Well, definitely respect how you feel in regards to her and just yourself. I mean, I think that you handle yourself well. Brian and I both had you like really high up. Like truly, truly.
I'm not going to lie, man. I haven't been this shocked, like for somebody to go on. Like usually those first dates are, these are like some of the favorite guys, right? So I was just shocked. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I don't think, it sounds like you did everything. You showed out. You were yourself. You know, you presented yourself in a great way and it just wasn't in the cards. So, you know, no knock against you at the end of the day, I don't think.
No knock whatsoever. I mean? But with that, Jordan, was there something that maybe the audience didn't get to see? Because we, as we know, we've been on the show as well. There are things that every single second can't be shown. Was there maybe a conversation that you feel like maybe more friendly instead of romantic?
No, I don't think so. I think really, you know, building a relationship is about friendship first, right? So
it is.
A lot of our conversations were cordial and we were having a great conversation and we were joking around. She was laughing. I was laughing. I mean, you saw us on the plane when she asked me if I was scared and I said, yes, she had a belly laugh right there. So I knew that she found it a little funny, but I think, you know, like I said, at the end of the day, we're looking for a love connection. She's looking for a husband and our connection just wasn't quite measuring up to what she was looking for. And I think she was right in that decision too. I mean, she's got to do what's best for her. You know, it's her journey. I just was lucky to play a little part in it.
Nah, definitely agree with you there. Yeah, I really respected her for that because you would hate for somebody to drag you on, you know, and lead you on and it gets deeper into it. So I respect her for that too.
Yeah, you know, and I've thought about that too. You know, I thought about when she sent me home and thought about, you know, if she would have kept me and
feelings gotten stronger,
she would have. Yeah, well, not even that. It's just maybe she knew that it was missed, that something was missing, but she still decided to keep me and move me forward. You know, would that be doing me, you know, a disservice? So I respect her for just being honest with herself and being honest with me and just telling it like it is, like how it should have been, you know? Mm-hmm. So I really respect her decision. Yeah.
Could you look at it the other way in the sense of maybe, damn, I wish maybe if she would have given me a little bit more time, like maybe that it could have opened Pandora's box as far as a connection between the two and maybe like something clicked in her brain instead of deciding so fast?
You know, all the scenarios run through your head, you know, no matter what. So do I think that maybe if I stuck around a little longer, could we have built on the connection that we already had? Possibly. But, you know, when you know, you know. And I think she knew in that moment during that night. So she obviously respected me enough to tell me the truth and let me go home. So I really respect that.
How do you feel about, so you are in a present unprecedented season. You have two bachelorettes, right? That'll be there the entire time. If Rachel said, hey, Jordan, you aren't my person, but I still want you here because you are a good person and you may be a good fit for Gabby. How would you have responded to that?
Yeah, that's definitely a good question. I think I went into the experience knowing that I was going for Rachel.
Okay.
That's kind of how I went into it. Gabby's a great girl. I had a lot of things I wanted to talk to Gabby about, actually, her relationship with her grandfather. I can relate to very much so. I actually have a tattoo on my arms in tribute to my grandfather. So I think I could have related to Gabby in some sort of way, but I really went in for Rachel and I was going to give all my effort to her. And I did that. You know what? Didn't work out. And it is what it is.
Nothing wrong with that.
It's funny, Mike, because we were talking about this. Remember, we were talking about this, like, you know, as far as going into hypothetically, right? Going in, like, would you kind of figure out
clickbait?
I actually would have taken Jordan's approach. I would have just gone for the girl I wanted to go after. And if it didn't work out, then I either would have bowed out or have her send me home. But I wouldn't have, you know, kind of tested the waters with both. That was just,
you know, I was thinking about that conversation watching you, Jordan, last night, watching Logan. And I had told Brian on our sister station on Clickbait, I said I would have gone in completely open to both people if I was attracted to both people. And then, you know, saw if the personality I was attracted to as well. But after watching it last night, I think that would have been the day that I would have decided to go after one person. Because at that point in time, y'all had been there, what, 3-4 days?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's really a tough, it's a tough question. It's a tough scenario. You know, this is the first time it's happened. So, you know, going into it, yeah, I had my mindset. Other guys had different mindsets, and that's okay too. I feel like, you know, depending on your personality and what you know you want, I think that's how you went into it. So I think some of the guys who went into it with an open mind, I think they're right to do that. You know, I mean, talk to Gabby, talk to Rachel. You're not going to know where the connection is yet, you know, until you actually talk to both of them. Yeah. Right, exactly. I mean, you're lucky to end up with either one of them. So if you go in there wanting to talk to both of them, then that's a great thing. But yeah, just me personally, I just knew, I had a feeling that Rachel was going to be my focus. And Gabby is a great girl. Obviously, she's fantastic. And she's made great connections with some of the other guys. I saw that, you know, in the house. I saw some of the guys really, really smitten by her, and as they should be. So
smitten. I love that.
You know, I was taken by Rachel. Yeah, I was taken by Rachel, and I went for that.
So how do you feel, you know, after watching the show back? What are you know, how does Jordan feel?
Yeah, you know, it was definitely tough.
Paint a picture for us. Where were you at watching the show back? Were you with friends? Tell us that whole story.
I was with some family members. I watched the first episode with some family, and then I watched the second episode with different family. So, it was definitely, you know, it was hard to watch, hard to relive those feelings and those emotions. And it feels like a distant memory, but it's not really that distant. And it was tough. I think, you know, I watching it back, I saw her trying, you know, to really get it, build the connection. And, you know, I was trying too. But I think, you know, watching it back, I just saw that she knew, I saw it in her face at the dinner, that she knew what she needed to do with me. Mm-hmm. And so seeing that, it kind of gave me closure in the situation, because I left and I didn't quite know why. I didn't understand. But after watching it back, I think I got the closure I needed.
That's good to hear.
How was the support of your family? Like, how did they react to you going home?
The support of my family has been great. I mean, they were so, you know, proud of me to even take this chance and go on the show. So yeah, they've been great. They've supported me. They said that, you know, they respect how I handled the situation and how I went about it. And, that's, you know, I'm a goal of mine just to be a gentleman, you know, that's if you could try to be a gentleman, you know, then everything will work out. And, I want to, you know, act with respect. And I think I accomplished that.
You certainly did that.
Did you watch last season when Rachel and Gabby were on The Bachelor?
I did watch last season. Yes, I did.
Okay, and so you knew from like just their personality, like that was Rachel was the woman for you.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, watching their season with Clayton, that's how I knew. You know, I knew Rachel's personality, and I felt like we would click a little better. You know, she's very sweet, nurturing. She has that kind of vibe, you know, and that's kind of the way I am too. You know, I've had to take care of, you know, I enjoy taking care of my family, hanging out with family and friends. So yeah, watching their season back, you know, I knew going into this when they were announced as Rachel and Gabby as the Bachelorettes, I knew that I was really, really excited to meet Rachel.
How do you feel about two Bachelorettes?
Well, it was wild in the beginning, you know, when we first found out, you know, you don't know how it's going to go. And the first thought I had was, what's it going to be like getting out of a limo? You know, are we going to walk up to two of them, or is just one of them going to be there and one of them's going to be somewhere else, or, you know, how's it going to go down? But, I think with two bachelorettes too, it made getting out of a limo like way more like stressful. Like you,
really? I agree.
You got out of the limo and they're both standing there and you're like, oh my God, like there's two of them and they look beautiful that night too. It was wild. It was crazy.
So take us back, man. Like what made you go on the show in the first place, or when did you decide to do it?
Yeah. So, you know, growing up, I watched a show with my mom. You know, that was something that we did. We watched your season, Brian. That was definitely one that stuck out with us. And, you know, growing up watching it, always been a fan of the show. And I always, you know, kind of thought about, you know, what if I ever got the opportunity to actually do it? And I found myself in a position in my life where I could do it. You know, I could take that chance and I could see where it would lead to. So I actually applied myself and was reached out to. And it was a quick process from there, but I got involved and I wouldn't have wanted it any other way.
Did you apply for Rachel, or did you apply like prior to knowing who was going to be the bachelorette? But when you found out it was her, you were like super happy.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not always the same, obviously. I mean, you guys know that, but yeah. It was getting down toward the end. I think, you know, it was getting down toward the end. And so I knew kind of who it may be. And I was like, you know what? If it is, you know, I was hoping it was a certain person. So if it is, then I'm going to do it. And so I just put it in, you know, I didn't even expect to hear back, to tell you the truth. That's why I just did it. And I didn't even expect
Jordan,
to hear back.
Humble. You
and when
look
I did,
like a saint, man.
No, I swear. I didn't expect it. Like expect to get picked, you know, you don't expect to get that call back, you know? So I just did it thinking I was never going to hear back. And when I heard, it was like, wow, you know, I'm definitely going to see this through and see where it goes. And then when I found out it was Rachel, it was even better.
And was your family on board with the application the entire way?
Actually, so yeah, I didn't tell anybody I applied. Oh. And then
you had to tell moms after the fact?
Yeah, so then I told my mom, but then I only told my mom. That was it. She was the only person that knew. So I told my mom and she was very excited. I you know, because I didn't know if it was going to happen or not yet. So I told my mom I had done something and, you know, I may be involved somehow. Didn't tell my sister, didn't tell my brother, didn't tell my dad, didn't tell my friends, until, yeah, it was, you know, 'cause I wanted it to be as special for them as it is for the rest of America. You know, I wanted them to experience it fully as well.
Yeah.
So,
I think we need to
I didn't end up telling my
mom.
Dad until,
like she kept,
yo,
that
she
secret,
kept a secret,
right? Yeah, she kept that secret. Shout out to
sure
mom.
Did.
Like
she did. No, shout out to mom, Gina. Shout out to mom, Gina.
Shout out to Gina.
But yeah, so then, you know, eventually as I got down the line, I told my dad and he was on board with it. And then I told my brother and my sister and they were ecstatic. So I never told my friends though. My friends found out when the cast was released. Yeah, exactly. So my friends found out when the cast was released and they went nuts. Obviously, I didn't know they went nuts, but they were going nuts.
Amazing. Did anybody in your inner circle, or I don't know if you know anybody, you know, that was on the show in the past, did anybody give you any type of advice going in?
No, I did not know anyone from the show of the past. I had no advice going in. I just,
your mom didn't
like,
give you
I just took the chance. No, I mean, she raised me, right? That's all the advice you can give a kid, right? Raise me right and then see what happens.
Like,
so,
you're perfect, honey. Go in there and go.
Yeah, just go ahead. Go ahead. So, yeah, no, I didn't know anybody. I went into it with an open mind and it was a great experience. You know, I wouldn't change it for the world.
Talk about getting, you know, your mom raised you right, you know, be a good child. When you first had your time with Rachel, you know, America was wanting you two to kiss, right? Is that something that you do on a first date, or were you like, was there a thought in your mind of like, should I not? If the moment's right, like, what would I do? Was that a thought that went through your brain?
Honestly, no, it wasn't. Honestly, I didn't even think about it. You know, I wasn't going into the first night thinking, you know, I'm going to kiss her. You know, I wasn't thinking that. I just was focusing on the connection. I wanted to get a conversation. My goal was to get a conversation and just let her know that I was there, you know, and get to show her a little side of me. So yeah, you know, watching it back and her saying she was hoping that I kissed her. I didn't know. I should have, I guess, looking back on it. I was just focused on building the connection and showing her the race car and the controls and stuff like that. And, I think I made a good impression, not good enough for the first rows, but good enough.
And even though you didn't kiss, man, I mean, yeah, like Mike said, you got the first one-on-one date. Like, how did that feel? Like, did you have any idea going in that you would actually be the first guy to be called?
Not in my wildest dreams that I think I was going to get the first one-on-one. And it was a great honor. You know, the first one-on-one is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And when they called my name on the date card, I kind of went through shock a little bit. You saw it on TV. I was like, you know, I was like, oh, like, I didn't think they were going to call my name.
Were the other guys piercing a hole through your body?
they were. No. I think at that point, it's a little early, you know, like all the guys are just trying to get some time. And the first one-on-one is like, it's a big deal. But the guys aren't too, you know, upset with you yet. I think build connections and
Chris
get stronger.
Me, I think. Yeah.
We'll get to that later.
Maybe. Yeah. But no, it was great. I mean, to have the first one-on-one was special for me. And it was a great date to be on too. You know, going up zero gravity was.
How was that?
Spectacular experience.
Seriously.
It was wild. That. Like, okay, so I find it pretty cool now. And I might be bragging a little bit, but I've gone 330 miles an hour and I've been in zero gravity. So like, you know, that's pretty cool.
What's up?
I've done two pretty cool things.
That's an IG bio to me.
hey, listen. Yeah, so, and I remember back, I believe it was Nick's season. Him and Vanessa Grimaldi went on that same date and she ended up throwing up on that date inside the gravity thing. So luckily you didn't throw up.
Was it throw up like moving around?
I don't remember. I just know she got sick. I remember her getting sick.
So glad I didn't have
to. Obviously, that turned out because he ended up picking her at the end. But that must have been a crazy experience, man. At least you didn't get, you know, it seemed like you were used to it from all the car racing and stuff. To that
speed
and adrenaline.
Yeah, I don't think you ever can get used to that feeling, to tell you the truth. I mean, maybe there was some queasiness here and there. But I was used to the G-forces. You know, they told us. In the kind of prep meeting, you know, you're going to feel 1.2 Gs, you know, stuff like that. Well, the race car, it pulls 5 when it takes off. So it's 5 Gs when it takes off. And then when I throw the parachutes, it's 7. So I know what G-force feels like. And so when they said 1.2, I was like, okay, you know, I think I'll be able to handle that. So, but it was a great experience. And it's really like the feeling of weightlessness is honestly like it's so hard to describe it feels the closest thing to it is like you're in a pool, obviously floating, but it's just a weightlessness to it that you can't even describe.
I think I'm gonna have to do that date one day. Cause that I was so hating on you, like in such a positive way. I was like, this date looks amazing. I want to do this so bad, but talking about the your car, it goes 5 Gs off the back, right? Can you get into like your origin story of how that even starts? How'd you get into that?
Yeah. Okay. So, drag racing has been in my family ever since I was born. My grandfather kind of got involved in the sport. It's called the NHRA, National Hot Rod Association. He got involved. He was in marketing and things like that. And so my uncle took a liking to it and he decided to start his own Top Fuel team. It was called Bob Vandegrift Racing. And, so his rookie year was, I think the year before that I was born. Yeah. The year before I was born. So I grew up, you know, going to the races and not a lot of people knew what drag racing was. But I did. So I would go on the weekend and I'd go back to school and they'd be like, what'd you do over the weekend? And I'd be like, oh, I went to the drag race. They're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, it's these cars. And then, you know, it's like, it's so hard to explain. It's like, you just got to come with me next time. Just come with me and you'll see. So, I eventually, you know, I tried to stay out of it growing up. My parents tried to keep me out of it. They had me playing baseball. I played baseball through high school. My mom felt it was probably a little dangerous to drive the race cars.
Just that. I was like, mom's was probably totally against it.
Yeah.
Her baby in that thing.
Yeah. Eventually it got to a point where, you know, I was old enough and I was kind of looking at it and I was like, you know what? You know, you only live once, right? So take the opportunities that are given to you, take the chance. And my uncle was, you know, he allowed me to pursue it. And it took me about 2-3 years to kind of get up to the professional level. You start in a car that's called a super comp car. It goes about 170 miles an hour in like 8 or 9 seconds. Jeez. And then I made the step up to what's called a top alcohol dragster. That goes 275 miles an hour.
That doesn't why that naming convention?
5 seconds.
Right.
Yeah, why that naming convention? Is there a reason for
what do you mean?
Wait, for
what
that
you
name?
It's like you said alcohol?
Yeah, top alcohol. So it runs on alcohol. So that instead of, it's okay, not gas, it's not your regular. So it's a top alcohol dragster, so it runs on alcohol, okay? Not the alcohol we drink. It's
you learn something every day, Mike.
You know, yeah.
Man, my face there, I was so like, what is he talking about? Okay.
We're like, no. That's a weird name to call that.
That sounds super dangerous. Yeah, like, going this fast and drinking? Okay.
Yo, so
yeah,
wait.
So that.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Finish it.
Yeah, well, I got it. Okay, so top alcohol dragster, okay, that goes 275 miles an hour. In about 5.2 seconds.
So crazy.
And then you make the step up. That took me about a year. You make the step up to the professional level in what's called a top fuel dragster. And the top fuel dragster is the quickest accelerating car on the planet. It goes 0 to 330 miles an hour in about 3.7 seconds.
Jesus.
So to put that in perspective, you know, your average car goes 0 to 60 in like 5 or 6 seconds. I go 0 to 100 miles an hour in 0.8 seconds.
What?
Eight.
So it's what? it's the quick acceleration that's the thing. And then, you know, the speed part of it is at the end of the track, which is cool. So that's why it pulls 5Gs. When you take off, it pulls 5Gs because it's 0 to 100 in 0.8 seconds.
I have questions.
Sort of, okay, ask the questions. So, ask the questions.
So, like, was this – you got in the car first time, you felt the need for speed, you loved it, or were you freak out? I wanted to say the F
word. I have never said this before. I was terrified. You know, when I first got in it. I'm not gonna kid you. You know, you think that you just get in these things and you're like, you know, you're gonna be all macho and it's gonna be great, you know. But no, you're absolutely terrified, especially when I strapped into the top fuel car for the first time.
Yeah.
It was an organized shutoff, you know, you go about 300 feet and you get off the gas. So, you know, my first run, it was in Vegas and we hit it. I went to 300 feet, let off, and I got out of the car and I'm thinking to myself, am I absolutely insane for wanting to do this?
Yeah.
For wanting to do this and keep doing it. And I had to question myself, but eventually, you know, you get used to it with all the runs you have and then it turns into fun. Then once you get used to it, it's real fun.
That was my follow-up question. Like, what's your end game? What's your why with this sport? Like, do you want to be the greatest drag racer to ever live? Like, what's your end game?
Absolutely. Actually, yeah. You know, that's the kind of person I am. You know, anything I get involved in, I want to be the best at.
I love it.
So, yeah, you know, I want to be the best drag racer to ever live. There's a couple guys that there's actually a lot of famous drag racers. And hopefully one day that my name – will be mentioned with some of their names.
I'm sure.
It's crazy.
Do you guys have?
We may be talking to the future all time best. That's crazy,
Brian. We're not. Maybe we are. We 100% are talking to the future all time.
There you go.
Put it out there, Mike. Put it out into the universe.
I got you.
Put it on the world. Put it on the world. Maybe it'll come true.
I have so many questions myself. One is there a season for drag racing? Because I mean, you had to take time away from the show. So are you in off season technically right now?
No, technically, actually, they're racing right now.
Okay. And are you back racing or are you?
They're racing right now. So last weekend they raced in Denver, Colorado.
Okay.
This weekend they'll be in Sonoma, California. So yeah, they're racing right now. I'm working on a few things, obviously the show, and it was a great opportunity for me. So And I wanted to meet Rachel. So,
hey, bro, I don't blame you.
That was really the kicker. So, but yeah, I'm focused on next year, or maybe a few races this year, but we'll see.
So let's, I'm sorry, Brian. I have so many questions in regards to this. So cool to me.
Yeah.
So when it, in like, I love boxing, right? And they say there, or in just sure. fighting in general, when you're out of a ring, there's like dust that you have, like they say, you know, ring dust or whatever the case may be. Is it the same for drag racing, would you say?
Yeah, you know, it's a rush of adrenaline, you know. Typically, on average, you'll do 2 runs a day. Okay. So those 2 runs take a lot of adrenaline out of you. How much it cost?
Yeah, because I mean, I know gas got to be crazy, right?
Well, so maybe I shouldn't be saying this, but why not? Who cares? One run, probably costs like $7,000 to $10,000.
What? Wait, $7,000 to $10,000 for how many seconds? Like
for four, a second? A little under four.
Okay, so.
Let me explain. The parts are really, you know, the parts are expensive.
Of course.
So because we make so much horsepower and because the cars are so violent, like it's 11,000 horsepower. So, you know, it's an unheard of amount of horsepower. So I know I said that on the show and they got me saying that, but it's kind of a cool stat.
It is.
But yes, yeah, so the parts get basically wrecked every run. So that's why it costs so much, because you kind of have to replace things after each run. So
it's really a big thing for you to be a professional, because I mean, the people that you're a part of are putting a lot of money into you.
I was going to ask that. Mm-hmm. Is it sponsorships? Is that some of your own money?
Yeah.
All your own money?
It's sponsorships.
Okay.
Sponsorships.
I mean, Jordan, I don't know your pockets, but bro, can you afford $15,000 a day?
It's sponsorships.
So do you guys have to be in shape for this?
You know, I like to stay in shape just because, you know, that's who I am.
Yeah, but like to be a great racer for the G's.
I think staying staying in shape can
after?
Yeah. So it can only, you know, staying in shape can only help you, I feel like, you know. There's no downside to being in shape.
Like that, yeah.
You know?
True.
So
very true.
Yeah, you do get sore. So when you get seatbelted in the car, there's 2 big straps that come, you know, over your shoulders, and you get wenched down like hard, because if something happens, you know, you want to be strapped in tight and to the cockpit. So so sometimes, you know, you get out of the car, you break open the belts and throw them off, and yeah, when I get home at night at the hotel, your collarbones will be a little sore, because especially when you throw the parachutes too, it throws you forward like really hard. So you might get some bruising around this area. But
so for example, like obviously IndyCar, they have the Indy 500. Then there's the Daytona 500. Like, what's the Super Bowl of drag racing?
Good question.
The Super Bowl of drag racing is called the U.S. Nationals. Okay. And it's in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Nice.
And it is the holy grail of drag races. Yeah, if you win Indy, then you've made it. Your name's cemented. It always goes Indy winner, your name. Yeah.
Nice.
When is that? Yeah, when is it every year?
That's actually Labor Day.
Okay.
So, there's a possibility I could be driving.
How do you know? Like, do you have to qualify, like with other races?
So a race structure. I mean, I'm trying to find, you know, try to find a seat with the team. So the race structure is you do qualifying Friday and Saturday. And then the race is on Sunday. So qualifying Friday and Saturday, typically 1 to 2 qualifying runs. You get seated based off your quick times. So, you know, the quicker you are, you're number one. The slower you are, you're number 16. It goes to 16. And then Sunday on race day, it's 1 versus 16, 2 versus 15, and it's ladder style. And then you just go down the ladder. So the winners move on to the second round. Second round winners move on to the semifinals. And the semifinal winners move on to the final. And then whoever wins the final wins the race. So you have to win 4 times in a row to win the race.
Oh, so it's like NBA finals. You got
to
win.
And that's just to get into Indy?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, so qualifying to get into Indy is just Friday and Saturday to seed you, depending on how many cars there are. If 22 cars show up, then you know, at 16 spots, then six cars don't make it. So you have to make it to Sunday.
Jordan, is this an expensive sport to get into? Like before you get sponsored, it's obviously expensive, but before you get sponsored, like how can somebody from like a lower economic upbringing go into this sport easily?
Yeah, you know what? So that's the great thing about drag racing. We have so many categories. I mean, there's a few at the top. There's about four or five professional categories. But other than that, it's called the Sportsman Series. And drag racing goes all the way down the ladder. It's really grassroots drag racing is really where, you know, it really matters. You know, there's plenty of people that bring their old school cars out to the drag strip on the weekend and have a lot of fun. So, anybody can do it. And I really recommend it. It's really fun. You know, just stay off the streets. If you want to go fast, come to the track. We've got the track there for you. Don't drive fast on the streets. That's what the one big thing a lot of people ask me. It's like, oh, you know, do you drive fast? And I'm like, no. Like, I just stay safe on the streets.
No.
But I go fast on the track.
I was going to ask, have you ever like suffered any injuries doing this? And also, sometimes you see these like NASCAR drivers, like they get heated with each other. I mean, obviously they're like racing and weaving in and out of traffic and bumping into each other. Like, have you ever had any beef with any of the drivers at all?
No, first, I haven't had any injuries.
Okay, good.
Crashing and drag racing.
Knock on wood for you,
man. The technology has really advanced, and the cars are really safe. They're the safest they've ever been. Nice. So I feel safe in it. You know, things can happen, but that's kind of what you accept when you get in the car. You know, you kind of have to face that reality, and I have.
For sure.
But yeah, no, there's no injuries, and then. I think, what was the second question you asked me, Brian?
Like the competitive nature within the racing circuit, like has there ever been any problems with any other drivers at all?
No, I mean, I think when you're in competition, you know, tempers are going to flare. And in drag racing, tempers definitely do flare. Me, my personality, a little laid back, a little easy going. And
you said that so smooth, I'm a little laid back.
Yeah.
Because you know how there's like a code of conduct, like in other sports, like, oh, you're drawing, you know, you're crossing the line when you do this. Like, I was wondering if there's anything.
No,
like
there
that
is.
In,
yeah.
Okay. What would, definitely, some, like, yeah, no, what would something be like that?
Okay. So here, let me see if I could try to explain this. The big thing would be with the staging procedures. Okay. So how I'm going to explain this is, so two cars are racing each other, right? Mm-hmm. And they come up to the starting line. All right. So to get them exactly even at the starting line, we go through a two-step process of staging. Okay. So how it tells us is there's kind of like a half circle bulb. So when you go into the pre-stage, that means you're about 6 inches away from being staged and ready. So that top half of the bulb will come on. So that lets the other driver know that, you know, you're in the pre-stage position. So you wait for the other driver to get in pre-stage. So then it's two half circles on top. So then both drivers know that they're in pre-stage. Okay. So then there's a procedure in pre-stage. It's driver stuff. I won't go through that. But and then that's when you have a person goes in, the whole bulb will light up. That means they're staged and ready to go. So then the other person has to get in, the whole bulb will light up, stage ready to go. And then at any moment, the lights will flash, and that's when you go. So how you can have some beef in drag racing is if you both light the pre-stage bulb and one guy goes in, or girl, we have champions that are women in our sport, which I'm very proud of. And if one person goes in and lights the whole bulb and the other person on the other lane doesn't, and waits, they have 7 seconds. But if they wait that whole 7 seconds, that's kind of like a no-go. Like, that's kind of disrespectful in a way. So that's one way you can have beef on the drag strip.
That's crazy, man. So going back to the show aspect, but then still you being a driver, you had mentioned to Rachel, like, it's hard. You and Rachel connected with, it's hard for some people to understand y'all's career and things of that nature. Have you had women that you've dated in the past that were on edge about you being a driver? And if so, what happened in those situations? Obviously, y'all aren't together, but.
Yeah. Yes and no. I think they understood it was my passion and it was something, you know, I strive to be great at. And while it was dangerous, I think, you know, they had trust in me. But yeah, it's tough for somebody watching. I mean, especially, you know, my mom and my dad and my family, even, you know, it's tough for anybody to watch me get in one and go down the track. So, but yeah, with Rachel, you know, flying is the real deal, you know, especially what she does, you know, being a flight instructor and, you know, she's been up by herself. It's kind of the same scenario, you know, you're in control of your own destiny, right? So that's where, you know, we understood each other, and I knew that I could see in her when I explained things to her about my career that she knew that feeling. Like, there's just a certain feeling when you're up there alone, when you're in the car alone, when you're in a plane alone, there's a feeling that only you know. And I knew she felt that. So, it was kind of cool to talk to her, and I really enjoyed kind of picking her brain about flying and stuff like that. She showed me when the plane was taking off, in zero gravity, she was showing me with her feet what she would be doing if she was flying the plane with her controls. So I thought that was really cool.
Definitely. So, I mean, what are some of the things you had mentioned? You're working on some things right now. What are some of those things that if you feel like disclosing that you're also working on?
Yeah, it's just getting back in the race car. You know, okay. I had my rookie year was in 2019. Okay. Since 2019, a lot has happened in this world.
Did COVID affect your world at all?
Yeah, it shut down the racing for a little while.
Okay.
And it kind of, you know, yeah, it definitely did affect it, and it affected my schedule as well. But no, you know, things are on the upswing, and I'm just looking to get back into a race car as soon as possible and go back racing again.
So, you know, after the show, like, so I want to ask you this question, but I was told that you may or may not be dating someone. I'm lying. No one told me that. No one told me that at all.
No.
I was trying to get something out of you.
No, I'm single.
Are you dating?
Nope. No, so, I am not. Not at the moment.
So speaking of that, what Brian and I knows what I'm about to ask, will you and the other boys be on Bachelor in Paradise sometime in the future?
You know, in the future, I'm definitely never going to rule that out. I think right now it'd definitely be a thought, you know, I'd have to think about it a little bit more, but I wouldn't rule it out. And maybe possibly in the future, I could see myself doing it.
He's got some drag racing trophies to win, Mike.
There he does. I don't even know, Brian, I don't even know if he'll make it to Bachelor of Paradise. I have a strong hunch that Jordan's DMs are popping. Very strong hunch about that. So.
Yeah. It's like, Rachel don't want you. We do.
Every single last adrenaline junkie is going to be hitting you up. Say, I have that feeling too.
Yes.
I love it. But Jordan, seriously, you are a phenomenal sport. I can tell you have a good heart. Shout out to Miss Gina. Shout out to your father, your brother, your sister as well, and everybody, man. You're a great guy.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. Absolutely. I appreciate it a lot. Yeah.
And before you go, man, we would love to get, I don't know if you know how we do it on this show, but we always drop a gem at the end of the show. We love our guests to do that. So what's your gem for everybody out there?
All right. My gem is live life with no regrets, man. Take chances. That's the way I live my life. You know, I kind of had this thought when I was younger, you know, if I was 60, 70, 80 years old, if I would regret it, if I would regret not doing it, then I'm going to do it. So with my racing career and things like that, I knew I was going to regret it if I didn't do it. I took the chance and went for it. And, you know, this opportunity for the Bachelorettes was kind of the same. You know, it was, would I regret not doing it? And the answer was yes, absolutely, I'd regret it. So I went for it and I took the chance, and now we're here.
You know, Brian, when you meet people that are really successful and athletes, but sometimes like CEOs, people that are really successful, they have a very calming spirit because they're always under pressure. And I feel that with you, Jordan, are you just really even keel? It's a good thing. I love that about you. But
yeah, yeah.
Can't wait to see you in the future. Can't wait to see you at the U.S. Nationals, man.
Hey, well, let's hope so.
Absolutely, man. Thank you so much for coming on, man. You were great.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Great to meet you both. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Mike. I had a great time.
I find Jordan to be, from our interview with him, a really good catch for somebody. That's the way I'll say that. I find him to be a good catch for somebody.
I'm telling you, man, I was shocked. I think he's a good looking guy. He's got like a cool job. Like, I don't know. I thought they were getting along, so I'm sad to see him go. But like you said, man, I don't think he's going to have any problems finding a nice young lady.
He won't have problems whatsoever, but wish him nothing but the best.
Absolutely. And we hope you guys love this episode. We appreciate you for tuning in each and every week, and just continue to do it. We're going to try to bring you the best content possible. We love y'all.
No, we definitely do it. Again, thank you guys so much for stopping us on the street and saying you love our pod, you hate our pod, just all the things and all the thoughts that you feel about it, your opinions, your comments, your stories. We read them, we listen to them, your insight. So please, when you see us in the street, say what's up. And when you see us on social, don't forget to like, comment, follow. Message us on social at Talking About B as in Bachelor and as a Nation on IG. And as always, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and listen to us on Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And baby, don't DM me no more until you subscribe. We love y'all.